I'm all about the animated. I don't know. I want an animated logo.
Oh, no, we can absolutely make that happen. That won't be a problem.
I'm needy.
Yeah. Well, animated logos are good.
They look good at the first video.
Are we doing the thing? I think it's doing the thing.
We are doing the thing.
We are such old people sitting here like, is it on? Sandra, are you there? Can you hear me, Sandra?
At least it's not like up our noses. Right, yeah. Hello?
Is it
on? Razors?
All right. So, hello everyone. This is a live recording of our Five Till Places podcast, and then tomorrow this audio will go up into the feed, so...
Oh, do we need to say the thing? See, you guys get to see all the stuff that usually gets cut out.
Right, this is usually, edited out. Oh, I don't... Should I pull up our theme song so that I can...
Oh, yeah.
...play it for... Okay, hold on. Hold on, everyone. Hold on.
So we, a few weeks ago, actually a couple of months ago, we did a nighttime podcast, and we spent probably 30 minutes looking for the right cocktail sound effects in the background.
Trial and error?
Like, clinking. We were looking through audio loops.
I would have done the authentic.
Restaurant. I did go find a beer in the kitchen that night.
Like, this is what it sounds like in a margarita glass.
Yeah, it wasn't stinking.
Okay, let's see if I can.
This is just this water.
All right. From Lubbock Community Theater, this is Five Till Places.
Thank you, Five.
We just let it play it for a couple of seconds, and then I fade it out. Hey everyone, thank you for joining us on another episode of Lubbock Community Theater's Five Till Places. That actually kind of worked out well. We're doing it live. We wanted to close out Giving Tuesday with what you're watching now, live episode of Five Till Places that will go into the feed tomorrow. You get to listen to it if you missed it tonight. But tonight we're just going to hang out a bit. I'll get there.
Oh, sorry.
I probably would have forgotten if you hadn't reminded me, so that's probably good. But we will, we're going to answer questions from you, the viewer, and you can pop them up in the chat if you want to. We'll try and answer them. No guarantees. We're all old and kind of far away from the computer screen, so you might be like, is she saying something? But, yes, if you're new to Five Till Places, I am Jed.
I'm Beth.
I'm new to Five Till Places. I'm Lance.
I'm Charlie.
So, yes, as we said, Lance is new to our podcast. He is not new to podcasting in general. Do you want to plug your stuff you do?
So, I'm the host of the Night Nerd Podcast. Over 1,400 episodes in, so if you got nothing to do during your Christmas holiday break, go check it out.
Good God, do you put out 10 episodes a week?
Daily.
Good Lord.
But then I'm on a hiatus right now because we moved and we didn't have internet for like a month and a half. It was heck on earth. It was horrible. but I am coming back with a like talk show format once a week. Just look for the Night Nerd. NIGHTNE. That's an E. NERD.
There you go. Check it out. And Lance is actually also new to LCT. Well, I mean, you've known many of the people involved at LCT for a long time, but you're new to the organization and new to theater in the main. And that will have a chance to go into as one of our viewer questions.
Oh.
Yeah. So why don't we jump right into viewer questions? So I can pull one up from the email here.
I know a better way to see that. If I look at us recording on the phone.
That's what I was doing. That's what I was doing here.
We got you, Facebook land.
So we've got a question in our email that says, do you know that your website is underperforming in Google search analytics and wants to know if we would like to sign up for their course to...
No, I'm
thanks
listening.
For sending that in. We'll get back to you.
I thought you were being real. I was like, really? Somebody sent that in?
I was like, no,
I did not know that we were underperforming. Please tell me more.
They changed the formulas.
They changed the algorithms all the time.
That's the catch-all word. Oh, the algorithm. Just the algorithm. Blame it on the algorithm.
Honestly, the only website that I've
seen so far that has like the algorithm that I really trust is TikTok. Like TikTok is real good about serving me up stuff that, like, to the point that it's upsetting almost. Yeah. Like, how did you know?
Yeah.
This is what I wanted to see.
Yeah.
But that's talk for another day. It doesn't do that for me, but I don't think I use it enough.
I like to throw them off and just like look up a bunch of science stuff and then look up like not science stuff.
Yeah.
Keep them on their toes.
Complete,
you know?
Opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's fun. And then you get the really weird Wish ads and you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have looked all that up.
Wish is weird. Yeah. Wish is super weird. Weird.
Giant anyway. Hamburger pillows.
Which I actually sometimes find, okay, I
or a
am
freezer.
Into that.
I know.
Or a freezer.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's just whatever they can find. Okay, carry on.
So,
my wayward son.
All right, our first question here.
It's going to be like this the whole time. Isn't
it? Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's, come on now, yeah. This one, we can start Charlie and go this way. How and why did you get involved at LCT?
Oh man, that's a really good question. Yeah. I got involved years ago because some other people were doing some theater. They got me involved and they're like, hey, you should come check it out. And eventually I met Heather May and my life has never been the same since.
We can probably everyone in this room say that, yeah.
She asked me if I would stage manage for one of her shows and I was like, yeah, I've never really done that before, but sure, why not? And I've basically been doing it ever since with her. So how and why? The community here is really excellent. It's wonderful. Everyone here is so nice and welcoming and caring. And it really does feel like, you know, the tagline is where everyone plays a part, but it really does feel like that, you know? Yeah. Cool.
Nice. Back in the wasteland of 2020, LCT did a Live-ish Volume 1, which, because there was no live theater, no movie, no entertainment. And it was, you can only watch, you know, Seinfeld or Community so many times. No, you can watch Community all the time. But
yes.
Seinfeld, not so much.
Yeah.
Seinfeld aged like...
But they, you know, did this Live-ish Volume 1 where performed a bunch of mini plays, skits, bits, things like that. And I was like, that's kind of cool. And the call for Live-ish 2 came out, and it was like, hey, submit a story, an idea. And I fancy myself a writer. I've written some kids' books, comic books, novellas, things like that. And I was like, I've never written a play. So I got some liquid courage, wrote a play, and y'all didn't hate it. Y'all made it. It made the cut in the Live-ish 2, and so that was a lot of fun. And then May of 2021... There were a lot of camps for kids, and my oldest, who is 12, wow, yeah, if I get it wrong, I get in trouble. He did like every single camp. We were here all day, every day, so I kind of got to know everybody a little bit more. I mean, I've known like Beth and Daniel for and
thanks, geeks.
And so, you know, just got more and more plugged in. And it was like, well, I'm here, so what can I do to help? And then, again, Heather was like, I got something you can do, and now here I am. And it's, yeah, I've, before June of this year, July, whenever Descendants was, that was July, right?
I think
it was. Yeah, it was hot. I just remember it was really hot.
Yeah, because June was all the summer camps, was all through main June, and then Descendants was right.
I had never seen a play before June. Like since like junior high when they take you to go see Macbeth and stuff,
right.
Like, you know, I've read plays and stuff like. But
does it count that he just said?
No, he's not in the theater proper.
Okay.
We'll allow it.
Okay.
You can say the name of the Scottish play in the conference room,
but not don't say it in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A lot
you
of
will be attacked. You will have to go outside and spit and turn around six times, like West Wing.
That's what we need to do a podcast episode is on theater superstitions.
Mm. I mean, I know like sports superstitions.
I'll
and
take
stuff,
a note.
There you go.
Yeah. So I've seen more plays in the last 4 months than in the last how many years I've been alive. But it's fun. It's
them.
Exciting. And it's, I, I'm, glad to be here, glad to be part of everything, and can't wait to see what happens.
And Lance is now helping. He's serving on our board of directors, and he is also helping with event planning.
Party time.
Yeah. We've got some fun stuff lined up for next year that we're going to try and get organized and get out there for all you folks.
Y'all.
Yeah.
Me?
Beth.
I did a production of Steel Magnolias at a different theater here in town, and Heather was part of the cast. Heather was playing Truvy, and I was playing Weezer, and that's where I met her. And then a couple of years later, I saw her open audition announcement for the Addams Family, and I thought, I'm in my 40s. I haven't done a musical in a while. I wasn't in my 40s yet then. I was almost 40. And so I auditioned and was cast in the ensemble. And had a great time. That's also when I met Charlie. He was our stage manager for that. And like a year later was on the board and doing 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. And just kind of stuck around.
You're the reigning queen of theater right now in Lubbock, though. Nobody has been a queen since you've been a queen.
That is true.
That's true.
We just wrapped Cinderella, and I played Prince Charming's mother. Queen Constantina, but I also was the prom queen.
I was just about to say, you were also crowned prom queen at 80s prom last summer.
That was exciting.
Yeah.
But it was a raffle, don't worry, nobody voted.
Oh.
They drew my raffle ticket. I may have bought 50 of them, but they drew my raffle ticket.
Well, I remember you yelled and leapt out from your seat. And
I did, I was your... so, well... I had some drink tickets at that point in the evening. But my kids are involved here now. My son is in Christmas Story, which is getting ready to open Friday. My daughter just participated in her first YAG program, The Green Bluebird, and they both had it. And all three of us were in a different production here at the same time. That will never happen again.
Oh, gosh.
It was too
poor
much.
Jeremy.
Oh, he didn't care. We were always gone. He's like,
wasn't
see
he
ya.
Town for part of that
some of yeah. for like a week. He was in California doing work and in Napa and
I would have
having
been,
a blast and
I would have been at home playing video games.
But we've all had a great time and we all survived. So I do serve as part of our marketing team and
most of the design work you see. The upcoming seasons is gonna be me or Beth.
Mm-hmm.
It's us, the two of us.
Mostly just Jed. Us. I'll email them and be like, "Can you send me that one thing that you made so I can use it for this other thing?"
We've got some super big secret projects that we are currently collaborating on, though, that you'll see about soon.
They're in my notebook here. You can't see it.
You can't look at them. That's why it's lying flat on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the Tom Holland of the group. They won't let me look at it.
How many people are watching? Only four?
We were up to 10 at one point.
Jeez.
It'll go up.
Tell your friends. Share it.
Yeah. Are we getting any comments?
No.
No? Okay. You can comment if you want. Keep it family friendly, please. Thank you.
My family or?
No.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Family and family
like
in general.
Like mafia family?
No. Make him an offer he can't refuse.
I've been watching a lot of mafia media. I go in phases where like I'm in the mood for mob movies and then I'm like, all right, I'm done for a while. And then I...
Have you ever seen the 1990s classic mob film Mickey Blue Eyes?
It's been a long time, but I have seen it.
I
remember the scene where Hugh Grant is trying to speak in the Italian accent.
How do you want your
You told me about the show that you're watching, and when I was watching that program, I started cussing a whole lot.
Oh, The
a
Sopranos?
Lot more. Yes. Yeah.
What got me about watching The Sopranos is that I had a craving for the past 2 or 3 weeks for deli meats.
You told me this.
I was sitting there and it's like walking around the grocery store and I'm like, oh, salami, gabagool.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, yeah. Anyway, so I did
now
not.
You.
The mafia is not what brought me to LCT. But
we made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
I mean, in a way, yes.
The mafia, the head of mafia.
So I am fairly new to Lubbock. I've had family and friends up here for a long time, been visiting Lubbock for a long time, but I have only lived here for about 2 years. I moved to Lubbock just in time for the world to shut down. We got here the week between Christmas and New Year's of 2019. And a few weeks later, we were locked down in our house. But when I lived in Abilene, I was heavily involved at Abilene Community Theater there. And that was a home for me, and it was a place that helped me a lot, just my mental and emotional state kind of showed up when I needed it. And while, I'm gonna be honest, leaving the town of Abilene was not hard, leaving the theater was really tough. And so I made a resolution that when I got to Lubbock, one of the first things I wanted to do was get involved in the theater scene. And I had an in through my best friend slash cousin by marriage, Daniel, who had been in Adam's Family with you and 9 to 5. I did not see Adam's Family. I was in town to see 9 to 5, though.
I remember you coming.
Yeah, I remember, and I remember you kind of walking across the stage a little bit. I met Heather really briefly at that show, but she does not remember it because she was doing 19,000 different things. But literally like 6 days after I got settled into my new house were auditions for Clue, which has always been a bucket list show of mine. And Daniel and I, we have known each other for over half our lives. Our entire adult lives, we've known each other and been working together, doing creative things together. But it was like, we were both involved in theater in our separate cities, but had never done a show together. And we're like, oh my gosh, how awesome would it be to do Clue together? And regular listeners to this podcast will know about the whole ordeal that Clue was, getting ready to open it and having to shut down and everything. That we had several episodes where we're like, I miss Clue. And then Clue came back and, oh my gosh, we're actually going to get to do Clue. And, you know.
And it was fantastic.
It was amazing. But, so, yeah, I literally leapt in feet first into this new theater community. And when we were cast, so getting cast in Clue is where I really got to know, meet and know Heather, and that is also where I got to know Charlie and Beth. And we were a week out from opening when we got shut down by COVID. And so Beth, Charlie, Heather, Daniel, and I put our heads together and started thinking, what can we do to keep ourselves sane and to keep LCT going, because we don't know how long this is gonna last, how long it's gonna be before we can perform again. And we birthed this podcast, we started the whole digital performing arts program that Daniel and I head up, and all kinds of other things like that. And you talked about Live-ish earlier, that came out of that whole initiative. And Live-ish is something we want to do again. We want to continue to do digital productions like that. So we're just finding how everything fits in now that we've reopened again and are all that. But yeah, it's so I, while leaving my first theater home was really hard, I have found a new home here and good friends and people that I've come to love very dearly. And I am super excited. The things that we're doing now at this theater, it's like a dream job for me. I'm so thrilled to be involved in with what we're doing now.
Excuse live recordings, me. People Whoops. Knock on the door.
Someone's knocking on the door. Knock, knock, knock.
So I have a question, a two-part, well, mm-hmm. not a two-part question, two separate questions.
Right.
On topic, people can go watch some of those live-ish on the LCT YouTube page, right? So mine is up there, and I think yes. two or three other ones.
Yeah, yeah. The full live-ish episodes are not up there, but there are various sketches from some of the live-ish yeah. episodes up there. And we have plans to put more stuff up there, start utilizing our YouTube account more.
Yeah, people should totally go check those out.
Absolutely. And all the videos that we posted today for Giving Tuesday will be going up on YouTube in a Giving Tuesday 2021 playlist.
And those were quite excellent, digital performing arts team.
We were.
Those were very funny.
Oh, hi.
Oh, which actually, if you three want to talk amongst yourselves, I will look up, because part of this podcast, we were supposed to announce who won the
is there another contest. Question? Well, we'll take another question while you look that up.
Because I've been going kind of out of order, so you can just pick
Charlie.
Uh-huh.
What is your dream role?
Oh man,
we've talked about this. I think I know the answer, but we'll let him tell you.
I've got two. There's Michael from Be More Chill. And there's Chuck from She Kills Monsters.
Yes.
Which I think I'm destined for, because literally the character's name is Chuck. He's a fat D&D nerd. and he, like, is socially awkward. I was born to play that role. That is my role. I, you know, I won't say no to anything that comes my way.
What is your favorite role? Not your dream role, but, and it can be, you know, like, a role that you would never play or never want to play, but you're just like, that is the role. Like, that is, wow. You know, and it doesn't have to be something you want to play. Matter of fact, maybe it'd be cooler if it wasn't something, but you're just like, you know, when kind of like the, you want to get somebody in on theater, like, oh, watch this person do this. And not even a specific person, just watch this role, mm-hmm. and this will tell you why theater is awesome. Asking for myself.
Do you have any designs of being, of acting in show? Or you support staff only?
I have no, writer, director, act. So as much as I love to hear myself talk, and as much as I love talking, being the center of attention, I don't take orders very well. Mm. So I don't think I would be a good actor.
Okay.
I honestly, it's never crossed my mind to be an actor. Hmm. It's always been writer, director stuff. And that is what I would like to direct a play one day.
Yeah.
Now that I'm kind of in mm-hmm. with the cool kids and stuff. But again, I know how to.
I see no cool kids. What you talking about?
I see theater nerds.
But like I've directed short films and documentaries and commercials and stuff. But I know it's not the same at all. So that would be, I guess, something cool to learn. I know there was a open thing for directors a while back. I almost filled out, but I was like, no, I don't know what I'm doing. So I guess that would be kind of my thing to direct a play. Maybe, I don't know. I see the stress it brings. And I don't follow orders or do stress very well. So I'm probably in the wrong room, but it's okay.
I won't direct. My dream role is Velma Kelly in Chicago.
We had a Chicago question at trivia the other night. Not art trivia.
A different for thing. A musical. For a straight play, I would have to think.
Yeah, straight play would be harder.
Because there's a lot more to pick from.
Yeah, for sure.
What about you?
Oh, for me, my dream production to be a part of is Sunday in the Park with George.
Oh, and Bittersweet this week.
Oh, yes. But I have been listening to that soundtrack a lot this week with the passing of Stephen Sondheim. But I also, like, I would love to play the Mandy Patinkin role, the both Georges.
That's a different thing.
I see.
It's my container's finally ready.
Fair enough. But I probably will not ever, because I'm not musical leading man material. I don't have that. I don't have the voice for it. I'm not that. I can probably be in the ensemble, but I'm not going to be the lead of a powerful singing show like that. But if we're just living alternate universe, mm-hmm. that's one of my favorite characters and one of my favorite shows. I identify with the guy who has spent too much time in his own head and wrecked relationships and things like that, because that is something younger Jed had a problem with. But I just love that show so much. I love the structure of it. I love the time jump. I love almost every song on that soundtrack. And that's one, oh gosh. I was so thrilled too that when the Broadway community did a tribute to Stephen Sondheim this weekend, mm-hmm. that the song, the huge crowd of like 200 actors, the song they were singing was Sunday from mm-hmm. Sunday in the Park with George. And it's just, oh man, did I get choked up at that?
So I have lots of questions. We're probably not, because again,
you guys. Yeah.
So I want to come back to the introductory, like, but
yeah.
With that, you know, you talk about not having the pipes. Mm-hmm. I talk with my hands, and it's not good for video.
I have a face for radio, so.
I can tell you, I can do a pretty mean finishing the hat in the shower.
Well, so my question is, could it be retooled to where the songs are more like a Bill Shatner spoken word type thing? Or I mean,
yes.
I know the...
She looks for me.
I have attitude about that.
Good.
I mean, so it's like a
Let
remake.
Her look for me.
Like Tim Burton's Planet of the
Show
Apes.
Show her why she left me.
Guess what all your Marco Polos are going to be for now.
Yeah, like, on an ordinary Sunday.
Great.
George, there is someone in
Thanks,
this
Lance.
Dress.
Not uncomfortable at all. I have attitude about that because I feel like it does a little bit of disservice to the musicians mm-hmm. that wrote the music the way it's written, and it cuts vocalists out of work for people who do it professionally. Now this is volunteer theater. This is community theater.
Right.
Not really a problem here.
Yeah. I know. I agree. I have a super unpopular opinion about voice acting that I'm not going to share on here because it'll infuriate people. But I get that. I didn't know, like you said, like if there was a remix or like a underground comedy jam version.
Yeah, that would be totally fine. But not for a... This is our big musical of the year and Jed's going to sing-speak
right.
for us in the main... title role.
And everyone else is still singing.
Uh-huh. And then we're all singing and doing choreography around you and the audience is like...
You're stumbling around.
What? I don't know what I'm watching.
Yeah.
But definitely for a parody or something. You could do a whole thing, a whole parody the William Shatner musical.
So, I think I could probably...
Oh, did we get a question?
Yeah, Trisha Lee.
Yes.
Oh, that's Trisha. Hi, Trisha.
Says, I have attitude about that. Needs to go viral now. Face. Love it, Beth.
Next show we're in together, we're gonna make that a thing. That on t-shirts.
Well, it's gonna be next season because I'm done. I'm support staff for the rest of this year.
You did a lot this Cheers. Year. Yes, that's fair.
So back to my other question. Like, what is the intro? Like what? Like I know
the top three shows I'm gonna recommend to you are all Sondheim. They're gonna. I mean, and there's plenty.
Were they before this week? I mean, just for context.
Yes, because these are kind of
I'm
my
eager
top
to
three
see
shows
if,
anyway.
I'm eager to see if it is the same.
Like I said, Sunday in the Park with George is my favorite of all time. It may not necessarily be an intro show, but it's really good, and you should see it. I think. My other two are the original stage production with Angela Lansbury of Sweeney Todd. I have
so good.
We've argued on this podcast about the merits of the Tim Burton film version. Some in the cast being pro and some being con.
I like him just because he's weird, but yeah. I'm with you on that.
I have attitude about
you
that.
You have attitude about that. It's okay.
But the other is also the stage version of Into the Woods.
Oh, those different
three.
Pick.
And
which
like,
just happened.
And the fun thing, what they did was Into the Woods Jr. Into the Woods Jr. is just act one of the show because act two gets much darker.
Yes.
And it still ends in a happy place. Mm-hmm. But there's a song in act two that like was just instrumental in me like dealing with and processing the trauma of the death of my mother. And so like it's all act one like you saw in Into the Woods Jr. But then it goes to some heavier places in act two.
Okay.
But all three of those shows are beautiful in their own way, you know.
For me, it's two shows. Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma, because I'm from Oklahoma.
Right.
And I grew up there, and like every high school does it.
She went to school in a Surrey with a fringe on.
I did not.
No.
Nor did I have a horse.
Right. No. Growing up in Texas, I got those same assumptions.
I
don't
have a horse.
It's okay. Our high school did it the year before I was a freshman, so I've never been in it. But I remember watching the one with Shirley Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That is that who plays Laurie in it? Somebody
so,
Google
yeah.
it so we can know.
I can go away from this.
And just being blown away, as a little kid being blown away, that all of that could happen at one time. They're singing, and they're dancing, and they're playing a role. And it's a whole bit. The other one is West Side Story. And being in high school lit and figuring out, or being told it's Romeo and Juliet and
Joan Roberts was Laurie in the original cast. Is that what you're asking about?
I just want to know if, not the original cast,
okay.
The movie.
Oh.
I think it's Shirley Jones.
Yeah.
And it being introduced to tragedy in that way, and you know, when you're in high, when you're in high school, stuff like that, you just, you're like, man, I'm so deep, I'm so emo.
You're right.
I was right. Yes, I was. Trivia.
So Oklahoma, what's your other big show that you would...
West Side Story.
Oh, West Side Story, you just said.
Coming soon to theaters.
Which I don't love. I don't watch it on a regular basis. And I know there's a new one coming and all of those things, but it was...
There's a lot
it
of...
Hit, it was at the right thing at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot to be said
I
about...
I gotta say my other one.
You said two. So you have to drop one of
my husband will call me out. He will call me on the phone and be like, you lied on that podcast.
Go and give... What's your other one?
You know what it is. Well, but it's Rent.
Rent, yeah.
We were also hit at a very important time.
Yes. We were actually talking, Beth and I were talking about this, and this is something I got from someone else, but Beth and I were talking about this and thought, this is very accurate. As popular and setting the world on fire as Hamilton did a couple of years ago, basically for Gen X and elder millennials, Rent was our Hamilton in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm. I remember when it was like...
96 is when it opened.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in my friend Jake's... Hi, Jake, if you're out there. Sitting in my friend Jake's bedroom, and he's playing... I was home from college for the weekend, and he's playing the CD, and I fell out. I could feel it in my bones. I remember the first time I saw it in Dallas. I remember the first time I saw it in New York. Cried like a baby. I had a friend tell me recently, they should have just paid their bills. Yes, they should have just paid their bills. That's not the point.
The point of, yeah.
It was the 80s, and AIDS was a thing,
yeah.
And they were broke, and...
Have you seen the new Netflix movie with Andrew
Garfield?
Tick, Tick,
Boom? I have not. But actually...
It's good.
Because it's about, like,
it's about
the process of his other play.
He wrote that before Rent.
Kicking stuff.
Jonathan did. Jonathan Larson. Yeah. I remember reading about it when I was... You still had to go to Barnes & Noble to find out about stuff then.
Yeah.
Google wasn't as popular, but just reading everything I could get my hands on from it.
Yeah.
I wanted to wear the clothes. I still have the entire show memorized.
Wow.
Yeah.
Charlie, what are your...
Sorry,
gateway...
Charlie. I didn't mean to
No,
it's
all good. It gave me time to think.
What are your gateway plays?
I would say you'd have to have something from Shakespeare up there. I know.
Technically, was West Side Story, was that Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's based... I mean,
it's
like, it's like
the
Lion
Shatner
King.
Speaking.
It's the scene speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Personally, I like Othello because I think that Iago makes an excellent villain.
Oh, gosh,
I'd like to see more Shakespeare done. And then my other two would be Rent and Hamilton, because I think those give you good viewpoints of like musicals and theater at different standpoints in time. Because I do agree, I think Rent was like our Hamilton for that time period. And I think it's maybe losing some relevancy now today. People don't quite relate to it as much. But I think it's going to be one of those musicals that, kind
of
like Oklahoma.
You're
like
of an age
done,
where you still might,
yeah.
Even though, you know. Rent is also the reason that every theater nerd can tell you how many minutes.
It's already here.
a lot. I don't know.
It's 525,600 approximately.
Yeah.
I have more questions if we don't have more questions. I have all sorts of questions.
Well, I'll just one more little moment on this subject. Most of what we've been suggesting has been musical theater. Do we have straight plays we should suggest to
him?
Because I know a straight play you should
see
like sometime.
12 Angry Men and... That's a play, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a movie.
Right.
Well, and a lot of these have been made into movies. Like the one I'm going to suggest is Noises Off.
Oh.
It's a farcical comedy. It has also been made into a movie with Carol Burnett and John Ritter and Michael Caine and a bunch of other
Michael
people.
Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Oscar winner Michael Caine.
Yeah. When I did Noises Off, I got to play the Michael Caine role. I was very... So Noises Off is about... this theater troupe that is just trying to put on a play, and that it's just a disaster. They're terrible.
Excuse me.
So act one is them trying to rehearse this show that they're supposed to open in like 3 days, and everything is falling apart, both on the set and in their personal lives. Act two is a performance of the show, but what happens is that the set literally revolves and turns around on the stage. So act two is backstage, and all of the emotional trauma that they've dredged up in act one during the rehearsal comes to bear in act two. So you will, it's supposed to be a performance, so you'll have the actors go out onto on stage, which is, you know, technically backstage from the audience, and be performing the lines and shouting the and trying to do the show, while backstage chaos is very carefully choreographed chaos is ensuing, and it's and then for act three the stage turns around again and we see another disastrous performance from actually on the stage, but it's a really cool show and it's really funny.
I'm also going to submit The Importance of Being Earnest.
Yeah, that one's fun.
That was also, that was one of the first live shows I saw in my hometown. My hometown in Guthrie, Oklahoma has a year-round theater company, and they did a, the Pollard Theater. They did a performance of Earnest. I was 7th or 8th grade, maybe a freshman, and just yeah, thinking it was hysterical. That's Oscar Wilde.
Yeah. In a movie with, I think, Colin Farrell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you? I know you suggested Othello, which is a straight play and not a musical, yeah. But did you add any other?
I will always have a special place in my heart for Dog Sees God, and it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. You're wrong. It's okay.
Charlie and I are at very opposite ends of the spectrum for this show, but that is that happens with friends sometimes.
Absolutely.
You have different opinions, and that's all right.
But I'll always have a soft spot in my heart for Neil Simon. I love some of his plays and works, and
a lot of them have been adapted into movies too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, Almost Maine, real sweet, lovely little show. But that's all that comes to mind.
Oh, also, You Can't Take It With You, which is a movie with Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
But the play, my brother was in that in high school, and it's just kind of sweet, lovely.
Arsenic and Old Lace.
Arsenic and Old Lace.
Of mine. Made into a movie with Cary Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that one's funny. And Peter Lorre. Peter Lorre is wonderful in everything I've ever seen him in. But if you want to suggest theater that Lance should check out to further his theater
drop
education,
us a comment.
Yeah, by all means. So, we want to move on to another couple of questions.
I like this one.
This one? Or this one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So, funny theater stories, adventures you've had, mishaps backstage, hilarious things.
There was the night that Travis split open his pants, and we all kind of panicked backstage trying to find
this was
hide.
In Clue.
This is during Clue.
He's
Wadsworth, he's the lead, and we're just like scrambling backstage trying
we're supposed
to
like run off stage, black out, and come back on, but then we find Travis's pants have torn.
He's got like 6 seconds that he can, you know, reasonably get off stage and be off stage and then come back on. So we're trying to like, we're just trying to find a time.
Weren't they using gaff tape at first?
We were trying gaff tape. We were trying, it just, long story short, it was one of those, like, we didn't catch it. There wasn't enough time. There just wasn't enough time. And he came back on stage and he just very graciously like, positioned himself correctly for the night of that show, for the last like 10 minutes of it. So
I know another pants splitting story from 9 to 5.
Oh yeah.
Friend of Lubbock Community Theater, Chad Anthony Miller, was playing Mr. Hart and split the seam of his pants just right open. And it may have been during that song that it was, I can't even remember the name of it. It was toward the beginning. And he was with the blonde, and I don't know. I don't even remember the song. I don't. But he ripped them good. Like, there was no, everybody knew what happened. The audience, everybody.
I don't know that I've had a lot of hilarious mishaps or anything backstage. I know I've had, like, I remember being really impressed with my friend Sarah, who in Noises Off, my character is philandering between my friend Sarah's character and my friend Stacy's character. And at one point, Sarah figures this out and runs crying off stage, and I'm supposed to chase her off. And she is just out here giving the performance of her life, and she's all on cue, and she's on point, just amazing. And then we get backstage while we're standing there, and I'm supposed to be like comforting her or whatever while the dialogue happens out there. We stand backstage for a few seconds. And as soon as we get backstage, she just leans up against the set and is all like, I'm so sick. Oh God, I'm going to end it. And she's like, but then she gets back on stage and she's like, we're ready to go. And I was really impressed. Sarah, you are super impressive. You should come up to Lubbock and do some stuff with us up here.
Wearing bright pink biker shorts in the cowboy song.
Yes. Oh, was it the cowboy song? That's our friend Trisha again. Yeah.
I did have a story. There's the time that a friend of mine, who I'll not name, she's told this story on another podcast, so I don't feel too bad about it, but who, during One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, came in through a window too hard and with a very unexpected part of her anatomy bloodied another dude's lip. She hit him in the face with her boobs.
I will say there are funny things that happen that are not necessarily mishaps. Yes. For instance, pretend that Judd and I are doing a scene,
okay,
and we're in the background, okay, mm-hmm, and we're supposed to be chatting and having conversation, mm-hmm, and it looks like it's all mimed. It is not. There is actual conversation happening. We did some of this in Cinderella. I've done it probably in every show where I was in the ensemble. There was a lot of it in 9 to 5 because it was a full office, like an office floor with lots of desks, and you're supposed to be talking in the background, and we were talking about stuff like chia pets and
we did
bad coffee and
some of that in Clue. At the end of the dinner scene, we're having dinner and we're supposed to go off to the lounge to have drinks and have our charges read to us, and Wadsworth says that I think we'll adjourn to the lounge for brandy and coffee and the game will be afoot, mm-hmm, and we're supposed to get up and walk off.
Oh, they talk about dialogue and stuff.
Well, because yeah. So we had two conversations going where Mr. Green and Mrs. Peacock start talking about games. Oh, I like games. And then they got to the point where they started talking about Bunko. And that became a thing for the rest of the show, mm-hmm, talking about Monk. And while they're doing that, Colonel Mustard was sitting next to Miss Scarlet, and our Colonel Mustard was kind of not a dim bulb. So I would turn to her and was like, why would the game be afoot? And she starts talking about it. It's like, what it means is the game will be under. Look, I've got some games I can teach you with feet.
Heard that.
That's excellent. That was our conversation every night.
And that's those really have a tendency to become running gags more than.
Yeah.
Because Miss Scarlet is, if you don't know Clue, Miss Scarlet is a madam, a lady of ill repute.
Mm.
But, I still remember the night that I'm stage managing the show. And we're starting act two, and you and Lindsay, Miss Scarlet, come out, you look at the stage, you look at me, you look at the stage, you look at me, and you're like, Charlie, what is that side of the set doing out still? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what, like, the lounge is still set up, it's still, or the study, it's still set up, it's still out there. What are you talking about? Like, that's how it is. No, it's not supposed to be there. I'm like, guys, you need to stop joking. And you're like, we're not joking, Charlie. Like, this is what we've never seen that before. And I'm like,
we had just never noticed it before. So we were freaked out and thought something's wrong. And the problem is, after that, every other performance after that, every time I looked at it, it was like, I don't know if that's right or not. I'm scared. It was like,
oh God.
Oh, I promise. I drug that chair out there. It was supposed to be there. I broke a chair once in rehearsal for 9 to 5. We were supposed to push Erin, also friend of LCT, Erin Castle, out of her scene from one of the boys. She was supposed to end the number in a chair, like a boardroom, big boardroom chair, mm-hmm, push it off. And we were still on the plywood floor in the old building in the rehearsal room. And I was pushing it, and it was just me. We had some women fill in. It was supposed to be seen full of men, but we didn't have that many men. And I'm pushing the chair, and it just went plonk, and poor old Aaron just... Oh, no. And I don't even think we used that chair. If we did, they stuck it back together with chewing gum and baling wire, probably, but...
I worked with Aaron's husband at Sears, like, forever ago.
Really?
Nice. Yeah. Roy. Shout out to our friend.
So I've always been, like, one step away, two steps away.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm just...
Surprised it took us finally get long your to drag you in. Yeah, yeah, it's...
How can we tie Star Trek?
We can tie Star Trek.
We tie it into every podcast. We bring it up every time.
So what we'll do is we were talking about Rent.
Right.
Two prominent cast members of Rent are currently on Star Trek Discovery.
That's right. Mr. Anthony Rapp and...
Wilson Cruz, who play Lieutenant Stamets and Dr. Culber, who are married. They were both in Rent.
But not together.
No, they were not in the same cast. But they were.
I'm a little far behind on Discovery.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't got to the time jump yet. I know it's coming, so.
So you're still in, like, season
Spoilers.
Two.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
But you know who Stamets and Culber
are. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. The dude from Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
Yes. He is in Dazed and Confused. That's right.
There is actually a promo. I think they shot this in the first season of Discovery.
They're singing
where they come out and
Star Trek Rent in my head just exploded.
Well, and if you have Anthony Rapp in your Star Trek, you got to do this. But he walks onto the bridge going 525,000 different Star Treks, and
yes,
and then talking about what makes the franchise go. And it's like, we're talking about nerds, and it's really great.
Very good. I did
with Academy Award winning People's Sexiest Man Alive, Ben Affleck.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I wish I had thought to bring it up. That is a really, really old gag. Like,
is it?
Our Lord and Savior, Ben Affleck.
In my studio, right above where I record, I have an autographed Ben Affleck picture from Daredevil. And then...
from his highest moment.
I like that movie. And then in our living room, we have pictures with all the
celebrities. I will say Ben Affleck is not the problem with that movie.
No, go ahead.
He was the bomb in Phantoms, though.
Yo.
I know we can't finish that quote, but...
No, but...
Yeah, in my living room, I have a... So, I met Ben Affleck a couple years ago, and my wife was there. I think, I don't know. Ben and I were there, but I'm pretty sure my wife was there, too.
I think she was there.
But it was funny, because I made it the background on my phone, and there wasn't room for all of us, so somebody had to go. So, Ben and I were the background on my phone for a long time.
That's amazing. No, yeah, I knew Anthony Rapp was in it. But that was before... I loved that movie before Rent existed. I loved Dazed and Confused for years.
The dude from... So I don't watch Yellowstone, but, like, my family's obsessed with it. And my aunt was like, oh, there's this good-looking guy on Yellowstone. I looked it up. It's the dude with the red afro from Dazed and Confused that rides around with Ben Affleck.
Uh-huh.
Like, apparently he's on Yellowstone. He's Kip or Rip or something. Skip.
I don't know. I don't watch it. I know people who are obsessed with it, but I've never seen an episode of it myself.
And when I showed her, I was like, this guy? She's like, oh.
He's also in Adventures of Babysitting.
I haven't seen that in 800 years.
Anthony Rapp.
Yeah.
Not the redheaded dude.
Yeah.
Anthony Rapp is pretty great, though. Anthony Rapp's character, Paul Stamets, is named after an actual myconologist, whatever. It is a scientist who studies fungus.
Yeah.
His name is Paul Stamets.
Season one was based on.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was a Star Trek person. Are you a Charlie, Star Wars
Charlie
person?
Tolerate.
There's wrong answers. I tried for Star Trek, and it's not that I didn't like it. It's just that I, like, would stop watching it and couldn't
find my place again. Are we losing viewers?
What we need to do is come up with an intro list of Star Trek for Charlie. Like, here are the best TNG episodes.
Far Beyond the Stars.
Well, that's DS9, but...
I don't care. It's the best
ever. What I was
going
to say next is watch all of DS9, and then... But yeah, because DS9...
You can't start with DS9. It's
no, I'm saying after, like...
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
It's saying, well, you can't watch Enterprise, so you've watched all of it.
Yeah.
Because all the little jokes. It's saying you can't watch Lower Decks, so you've watched all of it.
But TNG has, like Measure of a Man has to be on there.
On Enterprise, on Lower Decks.
Have you seen the
so
Paris...
Much.
The when Tom Paris...
the Tom Paris Collector's Plate? Yeah. Because, yeah,
sorry.
Beth and I will always find a way to turn it back to Star Trek. And so
every time.
You have that to look forward. You can join us in that.
Yeah, I'm...
So it's,
call me
don't
up.
You have the insignia?
Yeah,
right
there.
Oh, I love it so much.
Yep.
Sorry.
Next time I can afford tattoos, Star Trek tattoo is way up there.
I have a Daredevil one. I have two Fight Club ones.
So you've got Star Trek and Assassin's Creed already, and those are two of my big next
things. Today's podcast is not brought to you by Assassin's Creed, but it should be.
And it's funny, that's the Syndicate logo. Yeah.
The Rooks.
When I went to buy this hoodie, it was the big question was between this hoodie or a Syndicate hoodie, because I loved Syndicate.
It was so good.
It was real good.
It got pooped on because it came after Liberation. Liberty. Which Liberty was good. Liberty is the best story.
Yeah, see, it suffered from being broken on release and et cetera, but going back to it now, it's actually a pretty good game.
Yeah, and it has the whole Romeo and Juliet to bring back to a theater thing. And
totally.
He's
Star-crossed
lovers. Arno is an assassin, like raised to be an assassin, and then
she's a
her name. I have like a Funko of her. I should know who she is. It's like Genevieve.
So we'll do Star Trek. Lance and I will have Assassin's Creed covered. And they're working on a super secret.
Yeah, project. Charlie just.
So maybe it's about time
we can't
for
tell
us
you
to.
What it's about.
Yeah, we're getting close to an hour, so let's talk some about what we've got coming up next in the coming months, and then we will sign off for the night.
The next show that will open.
A Christmas Story.
3 weekends.
This Friday, 3 weekends, A Christmas Story. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday matinee. You can get your tickets at lubbockcommunitytheater.org.
We recommend getting them in advance.
Yes, please do get them in advance. It's not a normal occurrence for us during the Christmas season to have leftover seats. You can always try, but we don't recommend it.
Yeah, and we will have Marlo and maybe Marlo. Marla, I know a Marlo, so I tend
mm-hmm.
to, yeah. Anyway, we'll have Marla and a couple of other people from that show on the podcast probably next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk to them about that. After A Christmas Story opening in January, the last 2 weekends in January will be The 39 Steps. It is very loosely based on the classic Alfred Hitchcock movie. While his movie is more of a noir thriller type thing, this is a noir farcical comedy. You've got four actors playing so many different characters. You've got one guy who's playing the main character, one woman playing all the female characters, and then two characters, actors known as Clown 1 and Clown 2, who play everybody else in the show. And it's quite a thing to behold.
I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, I am too. It's going to be fun.
And maybe some other things we're working on for that one.
Our YAG program will have a show in January or February.
I don't know if they've quite now. I know auditions are the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have something going on mm-hmm. there. Yo, because that's when Spider-Man opens. I don't get to go see Spider-Man on opening day. Children.
Kids.
And you can always keep up with all of this information by following us on Facebook or TikTok or Instagram mm-hmm. or the podcast. We release weekly.
You search LCT's Five Tall Places on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts,
Anchor,
Spotify, Anchor, Pandora,
all those
Castbox, places. Stitcher, basically everywhere you can get podcasts, look for LCT's Five Tall Places. And if we aren't there, let us know and we will get it there.
The website has all the tickets and info,
mm-hmm.
All the upcoming, not just.
Not just those
Christmas
two, but
story
for the rest of the
season.
Yeah,
so if you wanted like a super cool sneak peek, just jump on there. Lots of good stuff. I'm excited to be part of all the cool stuff.
We've got other events coming up in like next spring and next summer. We'll have the return of the LCT Gala at some point. Last summer we kicked everything off with 80s prom. We're going to be doing a 90s dance party sometime soon. Some of you may have seen that we were talking about doing that on New Year's Eve, but we have nixed that idea because we just don't have we could put something together in the time we've got. We don't feel we have the time to put together the kind of event that it needs to be.
As much as the 90s were a train wreck, we don't want our 90s to be a train
right.
wreck.
Right, so 90s dance party is coming, but we will let you know when. And then there will be other events. We had our family reunion summer party that we have every year. We'll be having that again next summer. We'll be doing more online content.
Camps in the spring. Once
summer
the
camps
semester's
we had last
over,
year, we'll have them again this year.
People start planning for the next semester.
Oh, and we also have, and the other thing, And
yeah.
Oh, and the thing.
Some other things that we
yeah.
can't talk about yet.
If this wasn't live, we'd like beep over it. I would say.
Right, exactly.
Beep over it.
Yeah.
Well, it's always fun.
But. That also kills me about Lower Decks. All the bleeped out. The
beeping, yeah.
Sorry.
Do they bleep it out?
Focus.
Yeah, they usually do for the most part. They bleep stuff out.
I don't pay attention.
I do love Lower Decks, though. All right, so I guess that's a good place for us to sign off. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening, if you're listening later. We appreciate it. And for on behalf of Lubbock Community Theater, my co-hosts, and everyone else, thank you. This has been Five Till Places.
Thank you, Five.
Oh, I was supposed to be
supposed to say thank you, Five.
Right? I don't know. You don't keep yelling things, and I don't know what you're saying. I was supposed
to be playing the theme music, too, at the end there.
Oh, well, we can do it again.
Beth has left the show.
Yeah, I come from film, so I'm like, well, just take two.
I just thought it would be funny.
The queen has left.
All right.
And we're
going back into old man mode.
This is the fun.
Just push the button, Jed. You just got it. Yeah, right there.
It's the whiffy.
The whiffy.
This one
whiffy.
And this one.
Five Till Places is a production of Lubbock Community Theater. Be sure to follow us on social media for all the latest news and updates surrounding our projects and the goings-on at LCT. Our theme music is Pizza and Video Games by Bonus Points. A link to that artist and their music can be found in the show notes. Look them up, give them some support. Thanks for being with us this week, and as always, thank you for supporting live theater in the Lubbock, Texas area and beyond.